Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoy this message from The Well.
Okay, guys. Okay, so we're going to continue through our series on Him Possible, and the message today is going to be called Your Adventure Begins. Okay, so as we look at Noah, the thing is, it's about you. It's not about Noah. Noah takes us there, but this is your story, what God has got for you. So Tia's going to read to us from Genesis 6, 9 to 14. Over to you, Tia.
This is the family history of Noah. Noah was a good man, the most innocent man of his time, and he walked with God. He had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. People on earth did what God said was evil, and violence was everywhere. When God saw that everyone on earth did only evil, he said to Noah, "Because people have made the earth full of violence, I will destroy all of them and the earth. Build a boat of cypress wood for yourself. Make rooms in it and cover it inside and outside with tar."
Amen. Okay, let's give Tia a round of applause. Well done, Tia. Come on. Tia's going to be giving us a word pretty soon, so looking forward to that. Well done, Tia. She's doing so well with the youth. They're loving her teaching. Okay, so again, think about you as we go through this, where you are with the Lord. And so we all know the story of Noah and how God flooded the world and all that went from there. But today we're not looking at that so much as we're looking at the man, looking at Noah himself. And in verse 9, what we learn about Noah is that he walked with God, just like Vicky said last week, that those that walk with God, as Enoch did, we saw last week, God reveals his plans to them. And so God revealed to Noah what he was going to do. And imagine him saying this to you, you know, your name, and I'm going to destroy the world, and I want you to build a boat. I mean, that must have been a crazy moment in Noah's mind then, when you're going to destroy the world? Come on, why? And so it was an absolute massive life-changing work that Noah had to undertake. I mean, when you look at it, he had to build a boat that was 510 foot long. That's massive. It's about 1.5 football pitches long. And it was about 50 foot high. That's about four story building. And some of the support beams were about 3 foot wide by 50 foot long. That's absolutely huge. I mean, it's mind boggling to think of how on earth did he lift them, move them, position them in them days. And it took him at least 80 years to build it. And so, and he had nothing to compare it to. There was nothing like it in his day. There'd never been a boat before because it had never rained before. There was no need for any boats. And so you ask yourself the question is this, is that how did Noah do it? How did he accomplish what God placed in his heart? Well, it comes in verse 22 where it says this, that Noah did all that God asked him to do. And I want to ask us at the start, how are you doing with what God has asked you to do? Are you doing everything that God has asked you to do? You know, because the thing is this, most times we do some of what God asks us to do, or maybe even most of what God asks us to do, but then there's always that thing, yeah, but I just want to do that. So I'm doing this and I'm reading the Bible, but I just want to do that, or I'm not going to do this. It's so tempting, isn't it, to just step outside of God's will to just do that, whatever it is. And I'm sure it was like that for Noah. Can you imagine on the day, you know, he's built the ark, he's got all the wood, he's covered it with pitch, and then there comes the day when, you know, the animals are coming up the ramp. And it's like, oh, yeah, there's a rhino, love rhinos, come on you come. And, you know, there's a budgie, love budgies, go on you go and sit over there. And then all of a sudden you see Mr. Tarantula walking up this ramp and you've got your boots on. Now, wouldn't it be easy to just go, you know, squish, no more spiders in the world. Or you know, then there comes like Mr. Wasp, you know, everyone else is coming up, all the animals, and he's like, no, can you just sit there for a little while and, you know, swap, no more wasps in the world. Would it be easy or tempting to do that? And so it would have been for him, but it is for us to just kind of do the thing. Yeah, God won't mind that, or, you know, I'm not going to be doing that. Everything else, yes, but not that. And we've got to question ourselves. Is, are we fully doing all that God asks us to do? And so why the flood, though? Why did God flood the world? Well, you see, God saw that men's lives, in verse 5, were only of evil. The world was full of corruption, full of hatred, full of violence, and it broke God's heart. God is a person, and this really affected him. And he made you and me to reflect God, the glory of God. And here it is, the whole of creation, the whole of mankind, doing things that were actually opposed to his will and purpose and everything we're made for. And he was sorry, verse 6 says, that he made man. And so the world at the time was godless. It was immoral. It was corrupt. It was full of hatred, full of violence, full of killing. Does it sound familiar? Does it sound a bit like today's world that we live in today? Because Jesus said this in Matthew 24:37, that just as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be when I return. So Jesus said, this is how it is, and we're going to recreate the world. But I already know that it's going to fall back into that kind of pattern. And when we look around the world right now, it's very similar to when Jesus said, that's it, I'm done. God said, I'm going to finish with the world. And he got ready to wipe it all out. And some are saying that we're getting close to that time now. The time is coming. It's getting closer. And at that time, what we see is that God was looking down. He was looking down and he found one man who was different. He was different from the rest of the world. He was a good guy, a godly guy who worshipped God. He wasn't like everybody else. And God chose him. Church, the thing is this, that God has chose us. I was sitting with some mates the other day, chatting with them and saying, I can't believe out of everybody that we know, mostly it's just chose us. Why us? We are so privileged, so fortunate that he chose us. But he has chose us, like Noah, to be different. Different from the people that we see in the world. We do things differently to the people of the world. And God is still looking for a people that will do things differently today. People that will make a difference. People that will step out on Miracle Night and do stuff like that. In faith, in following what God is saying, he's looking. Are you ready for God to put his finger on you like he did Noah and do what God has called you to do? The thing is when God does, you're not always going to understand why he's asking you to do what he's asking you to do. Sometimes it really doesn't make sense. It didn't make sense to Noah. There's never been a boat. There's never been water like that. And he was called to do it. I mean, how is it? How is he going to build it? Would have been the first question out of my heart. Where's the wood going to come from? You know, how's it going to flow? Especially with all them thousands of animals that would have been on there. And then how on earth am I going to get all them animals in the ark, in the boat? It must have gone through his mind, but he said, don't care about all that. I don't care that I don't understand. I'm just going to follow my God. Trust him. That's what faith is all about. You want to know, unpack the word faith, is trusting God. That's it. That's what faith is. And that's what we're called to. And so when the Holy Spirit, God, who is with us now, prompts us and asks us to do something, then we just do it. We don't question God. We step out. You know, it's like Colin, you hear his story of the Spirit spoke to him, gave him a vision of a poster or a whatever it was there, he went and got it. He didn't know the next stage. He didn't know that God was going to get him to clap. He didn't know that it would last 40 days. He didn't know that the whole hospital would be uplifted because of it, that he would end up on radio stations asking to hear me. So he didn't know any of that. He just bit by bit followed what the Spirit was saying. And so if the Spirit prompts you to pray for miracles today, just go for it. Just go for it, church. If the Spirit asks you to share faith with a particular person or ask them to come on to hear the gospel, hear us preaching, hear, be part of the family, ask them, but do it God's way. We listen to God. Whatever he's asked you to do, do exactly what he said. And even when it comes down to fighting for racial justice, it's we do it God's way. Even though we don't fully understand and how did, what is God's way? Well, God's way is love. God's way is this. God won hearts. Jesus, when he was here on earth, he won hearts. And when I look at Marcus Rashford, I believe it's a prophetic sign to the church at the minute, as we're all a multicultural church battling that there's change. There's this racial discrimination goes. I believe he was a prophetic sign to us because he didn't rant, he didn't rave. And I'm not saying that protests, we don't. Yes, we protest peacefully, and it's wonderful to see that there were peaceful protests going on yesterday. But he showed us how to do it, that Rashford. He was battling for kids who were not going to get good meals during the summer, poor kids. And all he did was he told his story. He told of how hungry he was, how hungry that they had no food in the house at times, and that he would go to meet his mates because they had food in their house for him. And gently he told that story. And that story had more power than any violence ever did, because Jesus never chose that way. And now what he did, he changed hearts, he won hearts, he changed the government, and now the kids are going to get what they wanted, is food. And that's what it's for us to do. We must leave room for God to turn things around for good for those who love him. Leave it for God. You know, when Jesus was here, he didn't fight back. You know what he did say? He said, Pilate, I could whip your butt right now if I wanted to, or I could call a million angels and they'd go and do it for me. But that isn't my way. What Jesus said was, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And that story of Jesus, that simple, humble story, was the most powerful story ever told that has transformed, is changing the world now, and will continue to change it until Jesus comes back. The power is in that story. And as you look at George Floyd's story now, you know, if you, they are holding services in the place where he died on the street. It's now called the George Floyd Street. They're holding services there every single day, and people are flocking there. Do you know the whole atmosphere has changed? Yes, it was anger. Yes, it was shock. Yes, it was revulsion a few weeks ago, and we've still got stuff to work through. But do you know the atmosphere has changed? Why? Because people are flocking in, and people are coming to Christ in their hundreds. God is turning around for good. God is, and if we do that, we win hearts through our story, we will see God change hearts today, will change governments today, will change nations today, and change the world for equality. And that's what we want. We want results, and do it God's way, and that's what will come. And I believe that's what God has been saying to us as a church over the last few days. Do it my way. And we've got another big issue where we really as a church need to be walking with God through it and listening to the Holy Spirit. And that is, how do we come back when we come back? You know, when we're allowed to go back to meet together, it's going to be different, guys. Everything's going to change. Nothing is going to be the same again. And we really need your prayer into that. Any wisdom you've got with that. We've been meeting again and again with leaders, you know, bigger leaders than us, helping us to understand how that might look when we do get back. But we can either see it as a doom and a gloom, we can't do what we want right now, or we can see it as the beginning of an adventure. And I believe that is what God is calling us into. It's a massive adventure. We're now preaching to people that are in different countries than this, online right now. And people are joining us from afar. This is the beginning of an adventure. Jesus did say to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the world. Every church has that call. And so we're moving into that right now. And so let's walk with God. Do things God's way, and we will see him turn things around for good. But do know this, church, that opposition will come. People, you know, Noah would have been, had the mickey taken out of him for years. He was the butt end of people's jokes. You can imagine what he was saying, you know. Oh, so they were going, oh, so Noah, you're going to build a boat, are you? What's a boat, Noah? Well, boat Noah would have said, well, it's kind of a house that floats on water. A house that floats on water. Noah, right, that's fair enough. What's water? Where's the water? Noah, because water just came out from the ground there. There was no expanse of water that we've got now. And then you're going to fill it with animals, Noah. So you're building a massive house and you're going to fill it with animals. Why is that? Oh, because God's going to flood the world. Flood the world, Noah. You know what? Even the animals would have been laughing at Noah at the time. And so what is it that the Holy Spirit is saying to you right now? What has he asked you to do? That might, you might understand it. It might be a bit fearful. You know, I can remember when God asked me to pray for my grumpy old neighbour. He didn't want to talk to me. He didn't want to have anything to do with me. But I did. I went over. He had bad knees. And we prayed for one knee, and that got healed. And then a couple of months later, we prayed for the other knee, and that got healed. And now we're like best of mates. You know, we chat together, and he's telling me how he started walking, and how what a 40-minute walk, he can now do in 30, and he's doing it regular. It's just fantastic. It's transformed a relationship. It's certainly transformed his life. But you've got to be prepared that you're going to get opposition. It will come. Opposition will come from your friends. Opposition will come from your family. Unfortunately, Jesus had that in his family. They didn't understand him, didn't agree with him at the time. And unfortunately, you'll get opposition from Christians as well. Just being real with you, that's the way it is. But you know what? The biggest opposition that you're going to get is from yourself. Your self-doubt, questioning yourself. You know, well, you know, God won't really use me. Why would he use little old me? You know, who do I think I am to think that I can pray for someone and see them heal or do this exploit for God? We so doubt ourselves and put ourselves down, and we mustn't do that. And I particularly want to speak to the black community now. You mustn't do it. It's been put in you by the slave trade and all the other stuff. It's time to be set free from that. Come out of that and start saying to yourself, yes, I can. For all of us, who are you going to listen to? Satan, skewed off mates, yourself doubting, or are you going to listen to God who says to you, I am with you. I will never leave you or forsake you. And you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Like we heard from someone this morning, you're stronger than you think. You know, as weak as kittens, really. But with Christ in us, though he is in us, he's more powerful than the one in the world. And he raises up people like Gideon, who thought he was a real worm of a man. But he was. And until God came upon him and made something of him. And we read it now in our Bibles, and we'll be hearing that story forever. So whoever you are, it's time to stand up and be who God's created you to be, not what your culture, not what your history has made you, but who God has made you to be. Can I hear an amen on that? Yeah, I'm just going to pray right there, because I didn't intend to do all that, but I just, yes, Holy Spirit, just raise your hand. Just want the Spirit to come and release people right now. Well, I just come against every bit of oppression, every bit of depression. I come against you in Jesus' name, and I break every belittling word that was put on us in Jesus' name, every smallness that has been put in us through history, through the sinful actions of slave traders, whoever they were, we break it in Jesus' name. We break it. Every bit of pain that is there, we say, you come out now. Lord, you say it's your love that does it. Let your love flow into the darkest areas of our hearts, the deepest areas of our hearts. So important we get that pain out. Let it go. Let it go so that it becomes a strength and a power to help those who have been in the same position you're in, that we can see change, we can see transformation. It's not going to happen overnight, but it's the Holy Spirit that's going to do it. Secular society will act like they're good people for a little while. I'm just telling you how it will be. History has taught. They're going to be goody-goodies for a little while, and they'll forget it and look after their own interests. It's those in Christ that have got the power to lay their life down, say, forgive them, Lord, and let the grace of God and the love of God pour in and transform people en masse. It's what he's been doing since he rose from the dead. God, come by your Holy Spirit. God, come by your Holy Spirit. Come now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Just let the Holy Spirit just minister to you. Do you want to hear again from God? I love you. My desire is for you. That's it. Just listen to that. He's saying it again and again. I love you. My desire is for you. You're the apple of my eye. Each one of us today is saying that to us. Each one. Don't worry about the world. It's going to end. It's temporary. You're with me now in the spirit. You're going to be with me forever. And I love you dearly, dearly, dearly. Oh, Spirit of God, come upon us, Lord, anew. Come upon us in floods, Lord, in wave after wave. The second wave of the virus, they keep going on. What about the second wave of the Spirit, the third wave of the Spirit, the fourth wave of the Spirit? We're in a wave after wave. Just receive your Spirit. And then whatever wave comes from anywhere else, we can cope with that because God is with us. God is with us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And so it's not always going to be easy. It won't always be easy, but never, ever give in. Never give in. Whatever God gives you, whatever dream he places in your heart, pursue it with all your heart, with everything that you have. Give your life to it, just like Noah did. You know, you can only imagine after 80 years of cutting wood, sawing wood, bringing it over, getting it in the right shape, he must have been fed up with banging nails. He must have had days where he thought, you know what, I've had enough of this. I just want to give up. And, you know, the thing is this. The truth is that people miss out on God's best for them. They miss out on their very own ark. Why? Because they give in too easily. It's tiring. It is tiring. It is hard. And they want that quick fix. That's today's people. That's how we've been conditioned. Everything in life is instant. And but the thing is if that some things take time. And so we mustn't focus on the here and now. If you focus on the here and now, it's going to look terrible. It's going to look terrible. Racial stuff going on and that with racial exploitation, all that stuff going on. We've got the virus going on, killing more and more people. It's going to happen again. And we can look so at today and allow it to sink us, like the picture we got earlier. Sink us. Or we can step back and look. Look at what's going on today. And in 10 years' time, hundreds of people have been brought to faith where George Floyd died right now. And they're talking about revival fire coming to every city of every nation of this world. In 10 years' time, if there's, they're talking about 1 billion more people coming to Christ. If that start that out from the long distance, we would say, praise God in the end. So sometimes we don't understand, and there will be transformation in that. I'm not saying there won't. That's what we want. But look from the wide-angle view, from the big lens, what is God doing? Because actually, at the end of it, we know he's going to finish with the world. He's had enough of the world. Those on the boat are coming. Those who are not won't be coming. That's the big story that we're part of. And then we will be together as one. Tribe, tongue, nation, everybody as one, because God made them how he made them. And so don't give in when it's so easy. Just focus on pleasing God. That's it. As simple as that. Never give in. There's a story here from Alexander Bell in 1876. The guy got tired. He was an inventor. He was inventing the telephone. And he got fed up with it. He's not earning him any money. This is so hard. He thought, do you know what? I'm going to sell this. And so he tried to sell it to the Western Union for £70,000. And it was rejected. You know, they sent him a letter to say this. This device will never be capable of sending speech over a few miles. This device is idiotic. Furthermore, why would anyone want to use an impractical device like this when they can send someone down a telegraph office and they can get it, their message written down on paper where they can understand it? They said, your device is of no use to us. He was that close to the breakthrough. Praise God, he went on with it. We've got the telephone today. But I believe this, church, that we are on the brink of a breakthrough too. That this really is an adventure that's fit for us. We don't mind being online. We'll pray for people now. We'll pray for people on Zoom. We don't care. This is our time, guys, and I'm convinced of that. And that each one of us today, you have an ark that God wants you to build. There's an ark for you. So just be faithful in what God called you to do. Focus on him. You know, Noah was a faithful guy. He did it. Can you imagine him? It was 120 years after God said to him, I'm going to flood the world. And then suddenly he looked up into the sky and there was a different colour cloud. Up until then, it was all these woolly, fluffy, white ones. But now there was this dark cloud. And he went, look, what's that up there? And he got bigger and bigger. And suddenly, there was a drop of rain. And then another drop, and another drop, and another drop. And then a deluge and a downpour. Can you imagine what was going on in Noah's heart then? He must have been jumping about going, yeah, this is it. This is what I told you about 120 years I had to wait for it. But it came. Can you imagine the joy in his heart right then? Can you imagine the joy in the father's heart right then? This is my man. He's done what I've asked him to do. The joy of the Lord. And if you look it up in Matthew 25:23, Jesus said to this, my good and faithful servant, enter the joy of your Lord, of the Lord. And so there is a joy that comes to us that isn't from us. We enter when we fulfill what God has asked us to do. When we accomplish the dream we put in our lives, and there might be many small dreams on the way, where we find ourselves immersed in the joy of the Lord. You know, just the other night when I saw people praying for sick, those that were on the miracle night, people stepping out, giving words of knowledge for the first time. It's like, great to see them. So they give a word and then someone responds and it's like, I heard from God. You know, this is what we need to do. Step out in faith. It's so, and see the joy that comes upon them when they realize that God did speak. God did honor them. But you will never know what that feels like if you don't step out, if you don't pursue what God has given you to do. And so close up, I'll finish with this. Close up, the ark saved Noah and he saved his family. That's all he knew at the time. And for those who didn't get on the ark, when the door shut and the rain came, it was too late for them, simply too late. But the big picture, as you look back now, is that he saved mankind. The whole human race was saved because of that one man's righteousness. As we look at that, Jesus is a type of ark. And one day he is going to return at an hour that we don't know. So the question to you is, are you on the ark? Are you following Jesus? Are you saved? Are you in Christ? Have you received him into your heart? Because the door's going to close. The deluge is going to come. The flood is going to come. The end day is approaching. And whoever is not on the ark, whoever is not in Christ, will go to an eternity that isn't good at all. But those on the ark, in the boat, get to be with God in heaven forever. That's what the story's all about, to be with God forever. That's what he wants for each one of us. And so 2 Peter 2:5 says this, that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. And so we hear there that, yes, Noah worked hard for all them years, but he also preached. And so, church, whatever we do, whatever God has called us to do, we cannot be silent anymore. The days are getting shorter now. The time is coming. The flood is coming. We need to voice our voice and not be silent. Atheists are not silent. The scientific world is not silent. Media is definitely not silent. No, we must speak out for Jesus. You may be the only hope that someone has of getting into the heart, into the ark before they pass. You may be the only hope that they have. Your voice, your life, as they look in, we need to speak out for Jesus. And so practically, listen to what the Holy Spirit is telling you. Secondly, obey exactly what he says. Thirdly, be prepared for opposition. It will come, but in Christ you can overcome. And then don't give up. Don't give up your fight. And in it all, live out the gospel. Share the gospel. The kingdom of God truly has come. And so we're going to finish there. Just raise your hand. And we're going to, if you've never received Christ before in your life, just follow this short prayer with me. Lord, I'm sorry for the things that I've done wrong. The times, Lord, when, yeah, I might have been following you, but I've done my own thing. Well, inside I know that I've let you down. God, I'm sorry about that. I turn from that. I want to do things your way. And I thank you, Jesus, that you died on a cross to give me forgiveness. And I now receive that forgiveness. Lord, would you fill me with your Holy Spirit? Give me eternal life and that relationship with you now. Thank you, Jesus. And for the rest of us, I just want to just minister in a little bit. I believe the Holy Spirit wants to move upon us, you know, in Father's Day particularly. Holy Spirit, come. Lord, where we've had fathers that haven't been the best and they've left the darkness instead of what should be light and goodness, Lord, remove the darkness. Take it, Lord. Take it, Lord. We thank you as we look to you that you are our perfect Father in heaven. You love us unconditionally. It doesn't depend on us. It just depends on you, and you just love us. And so, Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Help us to do whatever you're calling us to do your way, Lord, the way of forgiveness, the way of love. We don't blow people up, Lord. That's not Christianity. We forgive. We have mercy because you forgave us. Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. And, Lord, we pray right now. You know, the worries that we've had, the concerns that we've had that have weighed heavy on us. Lord, individually as a church, can't go out, can't do anything. Is my business going to flourish? Am I going to be one of the many businesses that go under? How is it going to look? Can't go shopping like we used to. Can't do anything like we used to. Lord, we lift our eyes from them problems. We lift it and gaze into your eyes and say, God, release us from the bondage of getting over-tangled up with this world. You said it would be full of prickles. Lord, we don't want to be full of prickles. We want to be full of love and mercy and grace. And that's what we see at the Father's side. No, Jesus is interceding for every one of us right now. When Satan says, oh yeah, but this sister has done this, or the brother's done that, or you've done this, Jesus is going, never mind, my blood has covered them. I have set them free. The punishment deserved to them was given to me. Oh Lord, Lord, let your spirit come. Let it come, Lord. Let it come, flood in, Lord, flood in, flood in. And Lord, you said freely you've received, freely give. And so we resound in our heart now. We thank you for that forgiveness. We thank you for that love. We thank you for your presence. And Lord, we say right now, we are going to go out there this week and we're going to share that with others. We're going to share it with those we meet. We're going to share it with our family and friends and whoever we're with. Spirit of God, come. Spirit of God, come. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God.